Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Cage podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the fourth season of Supergirl. And a lot of the seeds were set for this last season, but some of it took so long to play out.
Yes.
And other things were kind of introduced at the beginning of the season and such. At the end of last season, they had teased another Supergirl. Mm-hmm. Which became the Red Daughter, and it was a twist on the whole Red Sun storyline. It was done as an Elseworlds for Superman at one point. But really, by the time we were starting to see the real payoff on that near the end of the season, I was trying to remember, it's like, what was the exact thing that kind of triggered that?
Yes.
At the beginning of the season, they introduced Ben Lockwood, who would become Agent Liberty, mm-hmm. which I thought was interesting because in the comics, he was a hero.
Well, he had an arc that seemed to kind of play out, and he seemed to get sidelined, and that's, oh, wait, we can bring him back in and play him into this other arc.
I would almost say he had two arcs.
Yeah.
Him as the main, and then him as the pawn, almost.
Yes. And it cast his first arc in a different light.
Yeah. And while his first arc was playing out at the first half of the season, we also had Manchester Black.
Mm-hmm.
And he was almost being played kind of sort of like a hero, even though in the comics he was more or less of a villain.
He was a hero whose moral compass got broken when the love of his life was killed.
Somewhere I've got Superman versus the Elite, which is a animated feature they did, direct-to-DVD video, whatever, that was an adaptation of one of the main Manchester Black storylines. And the Elite, it's funny because the Wildstorm universe had the Authority, which was kind of sort of, you know, what if the superheroes went a little too far kind of a thing, and almost a no-holds-barred version, I guess would be the right way to say that. And the Elite was kind of another riff on them, but they were also kind of sort of a riff on the Justice League. So it's very almost super self-referential, particularly when you realize that DC bought out Wildstorm and all that kind of stuff. It was wild. So there's an aspect of, you know, Manchester Black being kind of sort of, but not quite, like a warped mirror version of Batman to a certain degree.
I can see that.
You know, do whatever it takes.
Yes. And we definitely got that part. But what we weren't getting was always for good. His moral compass seemed damaged.
It comes down to, do the ends justify the means? And then it comes down to, if the ends need to be justified.
Yes.
And there was definitely a lot of how far can you and should you go.
Yes. And some of that came out in training up Dreamer.
Yeah, the introduction of Dreamer this season I thought was interesting. That's a character that is, in the comics, was Dream Girl of the Legion of Superheroes in the 30th century. And while the Legion is indeed in the future, they've come back to the past, Brainy's still here, etc. This version of Dreamer is the modern day, you know, ancestor of her. And in the comics, she's precognitive.
Okay.
While she sleeps. Here she's got that, she's got astral projection, she's got some kind of bizarre energy powers.
And some kind of visions that are separate from the dreams.
Yeah. Her powers were kind of ill-defined.
Yeah.
Well, some of what they did with the character worked for me better than some of the rest.
I think the community she came from worked for me.
Yeah, and it also played into the bigger picture of fear of aliens and all of that stuff.
I mean, and across Arrowverse, we've had a lot of fear storylines. And this was very much a fear of immigrants, fear of aliens, fear of the unknown and the more powerful. And she comes from a community where aliens and humans have not only coexisted side by side for more than a generation, but they have married, had children.
Yeah, they've been integrated in and accepted fully.
Yeah. And it's not that she describes it as a utopia so much as a success.
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that they managed to walk that line of not going so far that it sounded like a utopia you couldn't believe in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that was interesting. It's good they didn't fear change, because there was a lot of change this season.
Yes.
Particularly politically. I think they went through 3 presidents.
Yeah.
Because they started the season with the Linda Carter president.
Yes.
She was, I'm pretty sure that was this season.
I think so.
Outed and replaced with the Bruce Boxleitner. His character is president. I'm blanking on
Baker.
The name. Baker, yeah. I was going to say it started with a B. And then at the end, he was out and somebody else was in.
Yeah.
And again, some of these shows go through presidents and other sorts of things like that at a fairly good clip.
Yeah.
I was also a little confused as to where they were trying to go with Jimmy's character.
I think they're constantly confused where they're going with him.
Well, they introduced in the later half of the season a PTSD aspect, going back to a childhood thing that we'd never heard any sign of.
Yeah.
A sister comes in out of the blue and looks like she may be a regular character next season.
What frustrated me there was, for me, she came in so out of the blue that for an episode or two, I was waiting for him to come out of a coma and say, I don't have a sister.
Yes. Yeah, a character we'd never heard about at all, ever. And I'm pretty certain she does not exist in the comics at all.
It's possible there was a throwaway line where he said he had a sister 2 seasons ago. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
That's the most I think she's gotten prior to suddenly she comes for a visit and never leaves.
I think they realized they had a couple of vacancies.
Yes.
In their group that they needed to fill.
And they did an awkward job of it. And by that, I'm referring mostly to Haley.
Yeah, I think Haley didn't fit in as well as could have.
I feel like every writer had a different approach to Haley.
Well, there was one or two times where it's she's confronted with Supergirl, and Supergirl, oh, we've got to team up. And she's like, that's a great idea. And I kept wondering if she was going to stab her in the back.
Yeah. She constantly seemed to be trying to arrest Supergirl, refusing to work with Supergirl, and then suddenly willing to team up with Supergirl because that was the only chance they had.
We never got to see Haley really outside of the DEO and to understand her.
Exactly.
And I think there was something that needed to be done there so we could understand what looked like flip-flopping. Really, there was a more nuanced aspect to her character that we were just unaware of.
Well, and in those later episodes, we were getting remarks of, I worked on that project, this doesn't make sense. Or, I thought this had happened when I was on it, but then when I went and investigated, this that I didn't know about happened after I left the project and it didn't make sense. So there were signs of she was trying to figure out what was truth and what wasn't.
Yeah, but I almost feel we should have had an episode that was effectively a clip show, although not of clips we'd seen, that was basically a focus on her and her backstory. We see her on these other projects. We see her investigating some other stuff. We then see a couple of key clips where she's doing one thing. We see her progressing and, oh, that's why she flipped at this point. She was upset about this, or this had just happened. She interpreted it this way because of information she just had.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
She was too much of a lone wolf. And I say that because so often when a new character comes into a show, it's through their interaction with some other character
yeah.
that we learn what we need to. And they didn't ever give her another character to interact with on that level.
Alex, for the most part. And it felt like Haley was kind of written out at the end.
It was
like she'd gotten promoted.
It was hard to tell.
She could be back. I'm not expecting it.
Yeah. I was at the kind of a, they're going to decide over the summer how they feel she worked out.
I didn't get that feeling because it seemed like she was promoted. They introduced a new threat for a Jon Jones storyline. There was definitely the scene with Lena of putting her into a new direction. And I was thinking there was something they did with Dreamer. Maybe I'm already forgetting. But it seemed like they were laying out seeds for next season. Just like they did last season.
Yes. They like to do that.
Yeah, they do. But the problem is some of the stuff they get to around to a little too late. We got a little of Brainy's backstory, but almost just a by the by and in a kind of an awkward manner in really just the one episode.
Yes.
We got James getting superpowers for a bit. And then, okay, those are gone. And I was expecting him to essentially almost become a stand-in for either Mon-El and or Superman next season.
Well, and that was interesting in terms of we never got a scene where he was talking with Lena about, I thought I needed this to be better as Guardian, etc., etc. And now I'm realizing Guardian didn't need these powers.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't stabilize them, I'll be okay.
Yeah, that whole arc was just kind of weird.
I get the feeling that they tried to do too much. And as a result, there were a lot of things that got cut even before they went to filming. And still more that went to the cutting room floor.
Yeah, I think there were definitely arcs they wanted to do that were much more than fit into the season. Because you look at James, he gets shot, he's got the repressed childhood memories, he gets superpowers, he gets, you know, those go away and stuff. And there were a few other flip-flops with his relationship with Lena over the season.
Yes.
And there comes a point where if you've got that many major milestones in the arc over the course of the season, it's you don't really have time to explore any of them.
Yeah.
There was also the whole bit with Alex having to have her mind kind of wiped on her memories of Kara being Supergirl. And then when that's a little inconvenient, oh, let's just magically put them back.
Well, and they never touched on, and you asked aloud the question I'd been wondering for about two episodes at that point of, did their mother know that the memories had been wiped for Alex of Kara is also Supergirl?
I did like in that episode how they brought back the two actresses who played the younger versions.
Yes.
And again, they did a great job. And some of that was as much the wardrobe and hairstyles as anything else. They seemed like younger versions of the character.
They sold it. And they sold every aspect of the scene that needed to be sold. In terms of they sold sisters. They sold one being nervous about going off to school and being away from the other. But they also sold an accident. That was it a memory? Was it a dream?
Yeah. I almost want to see them do an episode next season where Alex and Supergirl get bounced back in time and have to basically interact with their younger selves or not interact with their younger selves. But you know what I mean?
Yes, yes.
I can't believe we were so young. See, I told you did that, you know.
Yes.
Those sorts of things. It was fun to see what they did there. There was just a lot going on and...
Well, John Jones went through the whole crisis of faith.
Yeah. And they brought his father back kind of sort of for an episode. They could have been a little clear on the storytelling there. He goes to Mars for a bit and comes back. I mean, there's, you know, is he a man of peace? Is he not?
Well, and some of that was how do you define man of peace?
Yeah.
Which was interesting. And how do you define your duty?
Well, and I would say the whole Manchester Black plot line was as much a John Jones plot line as anything else.
And it was a bit of a PTSD plot line when you think about what it did to him, how it created that crisis of faith.
Yeah, but I think the PTSD stuff they did, if they were thinking that was, I don't want to say an arc over the season, but something to go back to multiple times, they could have done better with that.
I agree.
What they did in a few places with Jimmy I thought was good. It felt rammed in there.
Yeah.
And given Jimmy of all characters was the wrong one to do that with.
Yeah.
If they had still had Wynn and used him for that.
Or actually the guy that they currently have, they got just enough screen time I think they could have pulled it off with, is the guy out in the bullpen who his sister was in HR over at the other place.
At the Daily Planet.
At Catco, actually.
Sorry. At Catco, you're right.
But, you know, because they had early on, they had the coffee mug full of wood chips because he's what a dryad.
I think he would have been the one to do that with. And if it had been Jimmy helping him through that.
Yeah.
Because it's like, hey, I've known Superman, I know Supergirl. Mm-hmm. There are certain dangers in life with that.
And it may sound silly, but actually, as the anti-alien tensions were going up, and as he was getting to the point where he was scared to go home and was sleeping at the office and stuff, having him flinch every time somebody used a shredder.
Either a shredder or something, yeah.
But a shredder seems so non-hostile to most people, but when you think about Dryad, he's wood, he becomes paper.
Yeah.
Conceivably, it's...
I think that would have been interesting, and it would have fleshed out the Catco side of things a little bit.
And would have shown that mentor and leadership side of Jimmy that's been so strong in previous seasons, and is why he's now head of Catco.
Well, there's stuff they've tried to do with Catco. Like last season, they brought in Snapper, and there was a lot more of Kara working there.
Yes.
Here at times, she seems to be doing nothing for Catco, but then, oh, let's stop everything, and she's going to do an impromptu, you know, interview as if it's 60 Minutes or something. It's a publishing thing that has media outlets or TV outlets. They're not the TV studio.
Yeah. Well, and in fact, they commented at one point that she went an episode or two as only Supergirl, and then an episode or two as only Kara.
Yes. Yeah. There were a number of things like that, which you don't necessarily notice at the moment, but then you realize it's like, okay, these two characters haven't really seen each other for 6 episodes.
Yeah.
At least in the Kara versus Supergirl guys.
Yes.
We got a lot of the Luthors.
Yes.
Not only Lena and her mother, but we got Lex.
For me, overall, Lex played pretty well.
They did a good job with Lex. I liked how they had Otis and Tessmacher, which is, if you go back to the Superman movie, is kind of where those characters pretty much originated. I don't know if they literally originated there, but that's, again, what they were drawing on.
I think what frustrated me in the Lex Luthor arc was sidekicks who got killed and came back to life multiple times.
Otis as Metallo didn't particularly work for me. And my biggest disappointment with Eve Tessmacher was where they left her at the end of the season and kicking off her being hooked into Leviathan and that being an arc for next season. Leviathan is something that's really been going on in the comics for a number of years. I think it was first introduced in Batman Incorporated. It's been used a lot in the Silencer series that lasted, I don't know, 16 issues or something. Remember the character over in Arrow that could prevent sound?
Yes.
One of the assassins? That's
yes.
Silencer.
Oh, okay.
In the comics, Leviathan is Talia al Ghul's organization.
Oh, okay.
Whether it's that way in the comics or not, or in the TV shows or not, I don't know. But they've been amping it up in the Superman, in actually Action Comics, with it having impact on the other kind of super spy good and bad agencies.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kicking off into a summer event and stuff. So trying to leverage that in terms of the who can you trust, the enemies all around you sort of a thing.
Yeah. Well, and this was definitely who can you trust, and basically we fear people more powerful than us, so we have to destroy that which is more powerful than us.
We've already seen on the other Earth for Flash and Arrow, Argus, Checkmate, and other of those organizations. We really haven't seen them in this world.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect to, because I'm expecting, and they with the crossover this year, they had Elseworlds. They brought in Batwoman. Batwoman. She's getting her series in the fall. But they also introduced the Monitor and teased that next year's crossover was going to be Crisis on Infinite Earths. Now, in the comics, they basically took a multiverse, collapsed it down to a single Earth. Don't know that they're going to go that way, but I'm kind of thinking they might.
Mm-hmm.
And that would mean at the end of the crossover this coming year, we could wind up with National City and Supergirl being on the same Earth as Flash, Arrow, etc., Legends of Tomorrow.
Would make it more convenient for them.
Might also see Black Lightning on the same world.
Mm.
Not that he's on a different one, we just don't know.
Yes, yeah.
Granted, we haven't watched second season, that might tell us. But I'm half expecting, more than half actually, that Arrow is getting 10 episodes. The crossover would be around the 9th and one to wrap up, giving it, you know, a kickoff for Batwoman to either start up right before the crossover or right after and be part of that. And I'm wondering if they're going to build kind of a Batwoman Supergirl kind of dynamic like they've done with Flash and Arrow.
Oh, that's an interesting thought.
But either way, it doesn't make sense to build up too many other super spy type organizations on Supergirl's Earth and then rejigger the universe if that's indeed what they're going to do.
Yeah.
But we definitely saw the Monitor play out in two scenes at the end of this season in Supergirl, which I hadn't expected. It's unclear to me where they're going with some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, they brought in Malefic, which is John Jones, the Martian Manhunter's, you know, essentially evil brother. The last thing we need is another opposite number kind of a villain. It's like, been there, done that, had a whole season, not a whole season, but the climax of this season for Supergirl was that way.
Yeah.
We've had that, I think, almost every season for Flash.
Yeah.
So I'm not too keen on that storyline going forward. But then it was highly ambiguous as to what was going on with Lex there at the end.
Yes.
I'm kind of figuring he gets revived. I'm kind of okay with that because I think John Cryer just did a fantastic job.
Yeah. Well, one of the scenes I thought he really nailed was when he's realizing kind of I need certain things to put certain pieces in place. And, you know, if I was dying or appeared to be dying, my sister would help me out. So he exposes himself to lethal radiation.
Yes. Yes. Because he's thought many moves ahead. He knows how this is going to play out for the most part.
Yeah.
And I think only once was he wrong, when he got shot.
Yeah.
So I want to see more of that character. So I'm glad he wasn't just, okay, he's gone. And I wouldn't have believed that anyways, because he's a Superman villain and Superman's going to at least guest star sometime next season.
Yeah.
I expect him to show up at some point, announce he's had a kid with Lois, and they're going to stay in Argo a little longer.
Makes sense.
At least so they can get the kid to where they could have a chance of controlling the powers or whatever. But we'll see where they go with that. It's just Catco, the organization, I thought got the short end of the script for a lot of the season.
Yes.
The DEO scenes were not as good as they could have been because of the whole direction with Haley and stuff.
Yeah.
The build up on the Red Daughter stuff was just a scene or two here and there of where are they going with this until we finally get an episode. Well, let's roll back and tell you what's really been going on.
Yeah.
And I feel they had to do that rollback and tell us what's really going on for two or three different arcs.
Mm.
And to me, that's bad storytelling, unfair storytelling, unreliable narrator.
That's, oops, we didn't tell you as we were going along.
Yes. It's still a good show, but I think in places it was lacking planning and other places it was lacking some subtlety. Like bringing back the whole Alex wants to be a mom storyline.
Yeah.
It's like, do nothing with it all year, and then bam, here it is.
Yeah. Well, and it's not the really bright, sunny show it started out as.
Well, and they played with that in the opening title card all season. Started out darker, and then it was getting more and more light, you know, over the course of the season.
Yeah.
Of course, by the end there, they were starting it with the Red Daughter logo and then flipping it back to Supergirl. I'm like, I get where you're going, but no.
Yeah. Well, last season we had the characters Sam and Ruby.
Yes.
Who suddenly got a job / moved the family elsewhere.
Written out with the end of last season, beginning of this season, and really never mentioned again up until they had to remind us how the Harrenel caused the other Supergirl.
Yes. Yes. So to me, there's an aspect of it feels like, well, like Red Daughter flew off into the sunset, and at some point I figure, you know, she'll magically reappear briefly.
Yeah, that was another dangling plot line, because we saw her escape from
She did die.
You're right, she did die and got absorbed into Supergirl. You're right,
that's right, she came it's back hard to tell. After
we
that
saw a dead, we saw her die I think three times maybe.
Yeah,
a couple were fake, so it's like, yeah, whatever.
She flew into the sunset, but then she came back when she realized that Supergirl was fighting Lex.
Well, and the other callback they didn't do too well was right before then, Supergirl's got the suit to protect her from the kryptonite, which is a callback to, I think, episode 4 or 5 of the season, where she was trapped in there the whole time because of kryptonite on Earth. That was the season, right?
Yeah.
The reason they did that is they'd filmed that first, and the actress was still doing, I think, like a Broadway play or something like that.
Oh, that's funny.
So she was literally able to, I don't want to say literally phone it in, but, you know, just do a couple of scenes.
Yeah.
But it's one of those, over the course of the season, it's easy to forget, no, wait, where was that plot thread from? Where was this? And even when they do the Previously On stuff, when they did the Previously On and told us all those things, oh, I guess this plot line's going to come back. I guess they're going to, oh, yeah, I forgot about this. And then they roll back 9 months.
Yes.
It's like, you just did a Previously On.
Yeah. But apparently it wasn't long enough.
I think there are some shows that would at least have the good sense to do a Previously Not On.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. That's the kind of sensibility that a few other shows, I think, could pull off. This one not so much, but they needed it. Not getting any other real reference to Wynn surprised me.
Yeah.
Not getting any update on what's going on with the Legion disappointed me a little.
Yeah, Brainy really didn't have much of an arc. I mean, he had the whole figuring out a relationship with Dreamer.
Figuring out that, and then what to do to protect the aliens.
Yeah.
He had quite a bit on that. But I wouldn't say it was a good arc. It was just stuff.
Yes, I would say that was stuff to do, not him having an arc or a progression.
I'd say the closest thing was him trying to fit in as a regular member of the group and the relationship with Dreamer.
Yeah. Well, and early on, it was kind of funny when he had his name for when he gets coffee and stuff like that, because he was trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And how hurt he was when his projector thing failed and the people at the pizza place turned on him.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, that kind of turning happens a lot in this world, given, you know, what happened to, they turned on Supergirl a time or two, and
yeah,
it happens. So I don't think this was either the best or worst season for the show. It had its moments. There were a couple of things I wasn't so crazy about. Other parts I did enjoy. Others I was always, it's like, this is good, but where are you going with this?
Yeah.
And others it's like, I see exactly what storylines you were lifting this from, which is not a bad thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Except most of them were Superman stories, or in some cases Martian Manhunter stories, and not Supergirl stories. But I've been reading the Supergirl comics that they've done since the 80s, and man, I would be hard-pressed to name anything resembling an iconic kind of a Supergirl story or riff kind of a thing, versus there's so much of that with Superman.
Yeah.
You know, the whole, oh, he's got to deal with Lex or Bizarro, you know.
Well, and is this the typical age for Supergirl?
Yeah.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking I remember her from one of the TV shows where she's more like college age or school age.
You're probably thinking the movie.
I'll take your word for it.
I don't think they've ever done another Supergirl show.
She didn't have her own show. She was a side character in one of the shows.
Smallville. Anyways, she's only showed up in a few is my point. Anyways, in the comics, she's done a lot of high school stuff, some college stuff. I'm trying to think if they even did much post-college stuff. So this, if anything, would be a little bit later than she's typically used.
See, that's what I was thinking.
But not by a ton.
Okay.
But the introduction of the sister, new with this show, makes sense for how they've worked it.
And it's working well.
Yeah, I just think at times they lose sight of is Alex the really tough DEO agent director, or almost this mushy, super emotional woman. And
they can't figure out the balance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're doing some good stuff. Other stuff just kind of comes and goes as they have room to squeeze it in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bar, the other aliens, some of that stuff. I felt we'd gotten a better sense, I think, last season of who some of these other aliens were.
Yes.
Than we did this season. So I'm liking it, not loving it. A little trepidatious about where they're setting stuff up for next season. Particularly the whole other Martian. It's like, yeah, we didn't need that.
That was my feeling.
And it was unclear to me why the Monitor was suddenly, mucking around and intervening.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, no, I don't know. That's why I'm curious.
Well, no, I guess my point was more of a, he has great power. He might as well abuse it.
It just seemed like he had been testing some of these characters in the crossover, and now he's, like, tormenting them.
Yeah.
And I'm unclear. But we should find out early next season, because that should lead into what they're going to do for the crossover.
Mm.
So, anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.